We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Who needs a restart? Presented locally. presented by locally owned Restart IT Services. Expect more from your IT company. Go to callrestart.com. Austin, after the last 5 or 6 minutes of the last hour, I would say Bob in Greensburg and Greg in Youngstown need a restart. What do you think?
Yeah, they do. They need to kick off a new season here with some positivity.
New season, you know, give it till their first loss before we start going on and on and on about how much we dislike Bob Nutting, right? Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Joining us now is the one and only Dan Zangrilli, who will be providing pre- and post-game coverage for most of the games this year, right? How many games do you do every year?
I don't know. Probably close to 100, I think.
So 100 games you do, and then, of course, we've got other people that will do the other games.
Yeah.
Do we know who these other people are yet?
I think Jeff Hathorn's going to chip in a little bit. Maybe I'll do a few more. You know, we have some games over on KDKAM. Paul Alexander, I think, has agreed to throw his hand in the pile, so that's all good stuff. It's hard to do those 162 schedules, man, like we did back in the day.
Yeah.
That was a grind.
And if you do 162, that's a long haul.
It's a long year, but hey, maybe this year will be a little different. Maybe it'll be a little bit more fun. The last five have been not so fun,
yes.
But
it should be noted that you do the post-game show. It means you take phone calls.
We do.
And
I'm familiar with Greg in Youngstown.
I mean Greg in Youngstown is a regular on your show.
He's fun. He's fun.
As is Chuck in Uniontown.
The best.
Is a regular, right? Here's a guy I have not heard from for a while, and I was wondering if you have, is Doc in Claysville. It's been a few years.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'd have to bring Tab Douglas out of retirement because I think Doc had a thing for Tab.
Well, I mean, he used to call my show all the time, you know. Doc in Claysville was a huge baseball fan.
Sure.
But he would always call, too, about college basketball. He's a big college basketball fan.
You know who I really miss is, and I hope he's okay. I'm starting to wonder because I haven't heard him on the air at all. Chuck in Uniontown is in a league by himself, right? And Austin might be too young to remember. And I gave him the nickname, this guy. Smiling Bob in Washington.
Yes.
Remember Smiling
yes.
Bob?
Is he around?
Smiling Bob, if you're out there somewhere in Washington County, we'd love to hear from you. If I'm to guess, he probably is done with the Pirates. He's probably done with management, ownership. And if I think I know Bob, and I got to know him pretty well, especially over the winning years, and he was never at all happy while they were winning 94, 88, and 98 games, and that's why I called him Smiling Bob in Washington, because he comes off, and he had that curmudgeonly voice as he got, hello.
Yes.
I just hope he's okay. So if you can, Bob, you don't need to, you know, come on the air if you don't want to, but just call Austin, introduce yourself, let him know that you're all right.
I think that's pretty good. It's one of these things where people don't realize when you do these shows a lot, you get these guys who are regulars, right?
Yeah, man. And sometimes, you know, because the show's 10:30, 11:30 at night and you get into the weekends, right? It's an eclectic group.
The one guy that is, you know, because I crossed over for a while and I was on KDK and now it seems I'm back here. The one guy that seemed to be, two guys that seemed to be... transferable, Ted in Mount Washington, and Anthony in Oakland, right?
Yeah. Anthony and I had a big blow up last year. I think he's mad at me.
Why is that?
Nah, I don't know. He started throwing insults, and I threw a few back.
About Pirates?
Yeah,
it
yeah.
started out talking about the Pirates.
Yeah,
and then,
of course.
You know.
We disagree. He got a little personal, so that's all right.
That's all right. I mean, Anthony's a good dude. He's a good man, and he's very smart. He's well,
no doubt.
Very well read, and all that other stuff. And so,
yeah, he's dynamic.
Maybe you guys
on the political front.
Maybe you guys can patch it up this year.
Yeah,
and he could become a good caller for you again. But so anyway, the Buccos today they play the Marlins, and you know, it's funny to me. One of the things that I have just really not ever been able to come to grips with, for whatever reason, okay, I just cannot call them the Miami Marlins. To me, they're the Florida Marlins. They always have been, they always will.
So are the Tampa Bay Rays the Devil Rays?
Yes.
They're still they're still Devil Rays to you?
Yes. And the football team in Washington is the Redskins.
Dare I ask about Cleveland?
And they're the Indians.
All right.
I'm old. The one night I was on here and I was talking about the Redskins. And that, you know, after the entire segment was over, whoever was my producer was like, you know, they're called the Commanders now. I was like, oh, God, they are. I forgot. Anyway.
Guardians is the hardest thing for me.
I don't like that. IUP, you know, what do they call themselves now? The Red Hawks?
Crimson
whatever,
Hawks.
Whatever they are.
Yeah.
They're still, no. Anyway, the Miami Marlins and the Pirates. Optimism is seemingly high. Dan, and for this team on a lot of fronts. And I think that actually a lot of it is justified. I mean, I'm concerned, obviously, like everybody else, about the rotation, but I think that the lineup has a chance to be pretty exciting, doesn't it?
So this is what I've been kind of kicking around all offseason. And as I come out of hibernation and the weather starts to warm up, people start asking me about the Pirates. And I was at breakfast this morning, had a conversation, and the question just comes up, well, what do you think? Because I think a lot of folks are on the fence. They're either, they're going to win 75 games, or a lot of folks think that they're going to win 85. I don't see how they have gotten markedly or progressively worse to the point where you would think that they can rubber stamp their win total of 76 wins last year again this year with largely a young, budding, improving roster. So I just think if it's status quo from 23 to 24, and I largely think it is, that there's just going to be some marked improvement based on growth and development. Now, listen, you could have guys that fall off, that regress, like Roansy Contreras did, because I think that he was someone that was counted upon going into last year and certainly fell well short of the expectations. And then you could factor in injuries to the equation as well. O'Neill Cruz just falling off the cliff and removing him in a blink of an eye from this lineup, from this roster, for basically an entire year. Well, that obviously had a deleterious effect on the overall win total. When you look at the expanded playoffs, and you see a team like the Marlins with a negative run differential that somehow maybe smoke and mirrors their way to 84 wins as they did a year ago and a berth in the postseason. When you see the Arizona Diamondbacks, I don't think that was as much as smoke and mirrors, especially in the NL West. They find a way to scratch and claw to 84 and make it all the way to the World Series with their really good pitching staff. I don't think it's an obscene thought to think that this team from 76 wins a year ago could improve 7 or 8 wins in 2024. Granted, a clean bill of health, that's paramount. That's not always going to be the case. They're already starting to take on water in their bullpen. But how are they not better? How are they not going to improve? I don't think that there's been a significant fall off. I would have loved to have seen more activity in the offseason. I don't think that they've done nearly enough, and they're counting way too much on internal promotions and progress with guys in their rotation. I think they needed more external support. They put some but not enough into that starting rotation. You'll eventually get it. Is that Jared Jones? Is it an improved Quinn Priester? Obviously, Paul Skenes is the aircraft carrier there, but they've got to be better just based on default.
I think here's the thing I would tell you, and we've talked about this a lot. Does Marco Gonzalez have anything left? What is Martin Perez going to give
him? I think he's going to be all right. Okay. Obviously, he had a really good spring.
Jared Jones, what is he going to bring?
He's their number three prospect in an otherwise prospect-rich organization.
I get that, but my point is there are people like that
sure, unproven. Unproven.
He's completely unproven.
Sure.
So my point is I think that those are the questions that probably need to be asked is what is realistic from this pitching staff? And I put it to you this way. I think as I asked Austin this, I asked Mackey this, I'll ask you this. Jones, Keller, Falter, Gonzalez, and who am I missing?
And Perez.
Of those five, how many of them will still be in the rotation third, fourth week of August?
So it all depends on the circumstance of the team and where they're at in their competitive position. And you would hope that O'Neill Cruz in his presence and assuming that he's healthy – and does what everybody thinks that he's capable of, don't you think if Cruz stays healthy last year, how many wins would he have been worth? And well, what would that have done to the Pirates' position as to whether or not they buy or sell at the trade deadline? I think a healthy O'Neill Cruz completely turns the Pirates' fortunes around in 23, and they would have been buyers at the deadline. I think he's a 5 to 7 win guy for this team, and he can make that much of a difference. And I'm happy to go into just a little bit of the nuance of those pitchers, especially Perez. I think he's going to be far better than maybe he was in Texas because I think ballpark factors really have proven, and we've talked about it for 25 years at PNC Park.
Will he be as good for them as Rich Hill was?
I think he's going to be better. But listen, the Pirates have a fairly decent track record. There's a clear blueprint of what Ben Cherington likes to do, right? They sign one-year deals to these left-handers. The profile of their stuff, their makeup, pretty good breaking balls, decent changeup. If you want to go from Tyler Anderson all the way back to Derek Holland, but you know Quintana was probably the best success story of the bunch. They've had a pretty good track record of bringing in left-handers with the same sort of stuff profile that have had some really good years. They've flipped the majority of them at the deadline, but I see no reason on a one-year, $8 million deal in the case of Perez, if the Pirates are in a competitive position to answer your question, I see no reason why they wouldn't keep him if he is an important part of the rotation and is helping them compete. What you would likely get, I don't think would compel you to move him. You would rather keep him for an additional 2 months and get whatever, you know, you would get out of those 8 to 10 starts that he'd make for you.
So you're saying you think Perez will be on the team in August?
Assuming that the Pirates are in a competitive position, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't.
How about Gonzalez?
I wonder, and depending on what the Pirates do from internal moves, I mean, he could be flipped to maybe shore up a bullpen or maybe bring in somebody if they're in a competitive position to help this team. Maybe it's an additional outfielder or it's additional infielder. I think that they would probably try to flip him, I think, or maybe move him to the bullpen. He's likely odd man out. If Skeens is up here by that time, I really think Quinn Priester is going to be able to turn it around. After he went back down last year, the velocity, big increase there, and that's paramount with Quinn Priester. So I think he's going to be a factor. I don't know how much JT Brubaker, as we get later into the year, that he'll factor in as he comes back from Tommy John surgery. But the rotation coming out of the gate, I think it will look very different towards the second half of the year and the end of the year than it does as we sit here today. Falter will not be in the rotation, and nor should he be at the moment, but I don't think come June, July, he's in the rotation or maybe even in the organization.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's that's really one of the things. Obviously, people keep talking about Bailey Falter, and obviously he's a stopgap. I don't think they have long-term thoughts with him. I think their thoughts are, listen, if he can somehow slop his way to get us six or seven starts, right? By that point, you know, now six or seven starts, you're in mid-May, even later. Maybe now it's time Skeens can come up. That's all they're trying to get out of this guy.
And listen, the strength of this team, I think, clearly lies in its bullpen. Now I'm a little concerned as to the water that it's taken on. Obviously, Dowie Moretta, losing him for an entire year, that's a big loss. I don't think that enough has been made of that. Colin Holderman, obviously, this virus flu thing that swept through the clubhouse. He dropped 15 pounds. I mean, how slow is he going to be to get back? The Aroldis Chapman signing, from a baseball perspective, looks all the more important right now, and a pretty good $10 million spent because of some attrition there.
Are you surprised they didn't flip him? Chapman? When they signed him for $10 million, I thought, boy, they're going to take him. Now they've got some cost certainty for him. They're going to take him and maybe a prospect and flip them for like a starter. I thought that's what they might do.
I mean, I think if somebody was really interested in Chapman, they would not be trading for them. They just would have signed him. Right. So I'm not sure that makes a ton of sense.
Well, what I'm saying is they were able to get the cost on him.
Yeah.
Now you can trade a guy because people know how much it's going to cost them. And you've seen with veterans – these teams have waited long into spring training so that they could get these guys at a lot cheaper rate. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
that it's a little peculiar how the market has transpired. I don't know if Chapman would have been a trade piece if the Pirates are going to pull the trigger on a trade, and maybe they should have. I think prospect capital would have been far more valuable in a deal. I'm just thinking mm-hmm. devil's advocate here. If I'm an opposing team, I'm not going to trade for Aroldis Chapman. If I was really that interested in him, I probably could have signed him anyway. And the fact that I didn't probably means that I have no need for that guy. And anyway, but yeah, there's he's obviously really important. And I guess what I was going at originally is this bullpen is going to be the strength of the team. And maybe you can smoke and mirror it with a Bailey Falter or maybe a little bit of a weaker rotation on the front end as they hopefully get some guys right, get some guys up here, i.e. Paul Skeens, sooner rather than later. And for me, and it's still the biggest storyline and really a disappointing baseball developmental what has transpired with Ronzi Contreras. that's tough. Like, I think there were a lot of plans for him. The fact that
what's gone wrong with Ronzi Contreras?
That's a great question. And I think that there needs to be a deeper dive there because, listen, he wasn't Cy Young and he was coming off his second Tommy John surgery, but you still gave away and got virtually nothing for the most coveted asset.
Yeah.
In Major League Baseball, and that's controllable starting pitching. Jameson Taillon had 2 years of control left when the Pirates dealt him to the Yankees. And while they got, four pieces back in return, none have really done anything significant in the way of contributions to this organization. And to have a young guy come in here and show the promise that Ronzi Contreras did as a 21-year-old throw 97 to the point where his fastball is not even a factor in his arsenal and he can't even throw it.
Yeah.
To complement a really elite slider, that is a developmental failure. I mean, and it's a big one because that stuff profile, the control that you have with Contreras, he came in here, really is the significant piece, the cornerstone of that Taillon deal, and to not get anything for Taillon now, and to have a guy that is now out of options, has been rendered a reliever, at least for the time being.
Yeah.
That is a big, big mark against the pitching development of this organization.
I mean, looking back at this trade,
Yuhari,
Contreras, Kanan Smith, and Mikel Escoto.
Mm-hmm. That's not good. And if Contreras works out, that's a pretty good deal. And listen, Taillon eventually rebound. I think he had a sub-4 ERA in 21, whatever year it was, and he won 14 games for the Yankees and obviously went on to the Cubs where he was paid over $70 million on a four-year deal. So there was some significant value that the Pirates, I think, gave up. And to get essentially a big question mark and a guy that has done really nothing but regress in your organization with that sort of arm talent, that's one area where I don't think the Pirates have nearly enough success stories. And as a small market franchise, you really need to have more of them. And that is internal development and success of guys with that sort of sublime stuff like Contreras had. And now he sits here still, 20? I don't know if he's 24 yet, but he's 23. And where does he slot in this not only bullpen, but in the organization?
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're going to try to fan him, DL him, and they're going to really try to fix him. They've really got to get him in the lab, and that's one of the biggest answers that the Pirates could have is getting Ronzi Contreras right and realizing his potential.
That's the thing I didn't understand, why they didn't do that or don't do that soon. Rather than put him in the bullpen, just you said, phantom DL him, and you know what I mean? He's got back issues or whatever. Some soft tissue issue that's not really all that easy to prove. It's not happening. And then just have him try and work out whatever's going on. But obviously he would be an answer to some of the questions we have if he could figure it out.
For me, I can't think of anything more important surrounding the Pirates in 2024. I would challenge someone to give me a more important developmental success story or even just an important storyline for the Pirates in 2024. For me, it's Ronzi Contreras. Obviously, O'Neill Cruz, you want him to realize potential MVP.
I would say Henry Davis. He's got to prove that he can catch. He's got to, I've heard a lot of different pieces about him as a catcher. I've heard that he's improved, but he's still not going to be he's not going to be an asset back there. He's not going to be a liability, so to speak, but he's really not going to be an asset. He's got to get to the point where he becomes an asset.
So and my question, and I'm very much in the minority on this, and I saw two innings last year, and that was all I needed to see with Henry Davis. And it's clear that the Pirates silently think this way and would agree with this. I would just turn the page on the whole catching thing and just stick him in right field. And by doing so, I don't think that is a developmental failure. That bat for me is such a plus bat. His hit tool is really, really good. I don't think I even want to mess with Henry Davis as a catcher. Even if he could eventually work his way up to being a league average catcher, just the wear and tear on the body and the drag that it could have on the potential offensive upside, put him in right field, let that arm play, and I would hit Henry Davis potentially fourth in this lineup. That's how much I think of the bat.
Well,
and listen, I don't think he's a bad game caller. I don't think he handles pitchers poorly. I don't question his acumen. Obviously, the arm talent is there, but it is clear, and while I give him all the credit in the world for improving his ability to receive, I would rather use a cast iron skillet back of home plate right now than Henry Davis.
But the problem is Grandal's hurt.
Sure, and he's the starting catcher by default.
Right. You know, Grandal's hurt, and delay is delay. So, to me, when you look at it, they have to put him there. I just feel like if he can get to a point where he becomes an asset back there, but I agree with you. I thought last year I didn't understand what they were doing with him last year. So this year now, with Andy Rodriguez hurt, they really don't have much of a choice, but it does beg the question, what's going to happen in the future? And I guess we will find that out.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We got a little bit of Eddie Money for you. I'm a child of the 80s. Eddie Money was maybe the coolest cat on the planet.
First concert I ever went to.
Eddie Money?
Mm-hmm.
I seen him in concert down at, I actually saw him down at Station Square. So that tells you he was at the latter end of his career.
Three River Stadium?
You saw him when he was at the beginning.
Yeah, this was mid-90s? I want to say.
Well, anyway.
Caught a guitar pick as well.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, the guitarist inflicted. So I have an Eddie Money guitar pick somewhere.
Yes. That is. Listen, on this channel right here, I've got Pawn Stars. Maybe you can find it and we'll take it to Chumlee and see if we can get something for it. What do you think?
They've had some issues, like off the field issues, haven't they?
Yes.
I read like on all these, you know, these spam tweets or whatever.
Exactly.
It's at the bottom of the, you know, whatever random website, you know.
Well, Big Hoss has had some issues with driving his motorcycle in a reckless way, and Chumlee has had some major legal issues.
Man.
And Rick's son just died of an overdose.
Oh,
so
and the old man's gone, right?
The old man is dead too.
Yikes!
It's hilarious though. That's my favorite show. I watch.
Is it really?
I'll watch. Listen, I'll see if there's a marathon on. I'll sit and watch. Hours.
Are they doing now. New episodes?
Yeah, we got new episodes.
Okay, and, I didn't know because it's a very 2010 thing that's going on. Pawn Stars.
It's okay. So anyway, so maybe your Eddie Money pick will be worth some money. We look at the Pirates, and we're with Dan Zangrilli, of course, who's going to – what time does your pregame show start today?
3 o'clock. 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. He will be getting you ready for Buccos in Miami. And so one of the things that intrigues me about this team is Connor Joe and Tellez at first base. What's realistic to expect from that – you know, that platoon.
I mean, I think, Tellez, you're trying to get whatever production you received from Carlos Santana. And then, obviously, Joe actually has done pretty well against left-handers. So the combined production, I think, will be serviceable enough. I was never big, Paul, on the obsession to do something at first base significantly, you know, this offseason. I wanted every resource and dime put into pitching, particularly starting pitching. They did a little bit, but not nearly enough. I think Tellez will be fine. He's essentially what they've done the last few years, whether it's a Vogelbach, whether it's a Santana. Again, Joe's going to be fine against left-handers. The combined production will be enough, I think, until you find something more permanent at first base. Listen, in 13, 14, and 15, they ran some cast of characters out there. Anywhere from Garrett Jones to Gabby Sanchez, and some others that played first base. So the Pirates, if you go, they've not had a first baseman since Willie Stargell. So they've gone 40 years without one. Now, granted, their track record hasn't been great since
Willie
1979.
Stargell?
Think about it. I mean, do you want to count Kevin Young in there?
You throw
Kevin Young, maybe Jeff King.
Jeff King was there.
They haven't had a legitimate first baseman, franchise defining first baseman since Stargell.
Wasn't one of the LaRosas a first baseman?
There was. I'm trying to think.
I think you might be right.
Kevin Young is the closest thing. With no disrespect to Kevin Young, you've had a first baseman here and there have a pretty good season. 96, Jeff King hit over 30 home runs. Kevin Young is the best guy since Willie Stargell. Really.
How about those like 40 games they had Justin Morneau?
And he wasn't any good those 40 games.
Or whatever it was.
His best contribution to the organization was on defense, the relay that he made in 2013 to clinch the postseason berth in Chicago, right?
But they got to get something out of Telez and Connor Joe.
So that's what they've done. They've piecemealed it together. They've got a platoon situation where the combined production is passable.
Well,
and really, this team, here's what this team needs to do. This team needs to get its collective ERA under 3.5, and they need to be able to score 4 runs a game. However they do that, by hook or crook, that's going to be the formula. Their starting rotation ERA last year was 11th in the National League, 4.88.
Yeah.
Not good. Right. So they've got to get that starter ERA down closer to 4, and the combined ERA of the staff, which with this bullpen might be feasible, you get it to 3.5, and you score 4 runs a game, that's a winning formula, right?
Right.
If you give up less than 4 and you score 4, you win 2/3 of your home games, you play .500 ball on the road, that's the elixir for winning in the simplest vacuum out there. So obsessing over first base, to me, I mean, I don't think that that's all that important in the grand scheme of things. All the attention needs to be on the success of the starting staff, how and how often they are developing and deploying their internal pitching, and that's going to really be the area of my focus, and I'm going to talk quite a bit about it on the shows.
Is Michael A. Taylor going to be their center fielder?
Yeah.
So, basically, they've decided that is going to be a position of defense. I mean, if he hits whatever he hits, you know.
He popped 20 home runs last year, but he's not – I mean, what was it? The OPS was sub 750, so he was probably like at a 720 ops last
year. You can live with that, though, because
he
makes their – obviously, a really important position. He makes that – they go from having a guy who was, you know, sort of okay to a guy who is elite. Quite frankly – his career average is, 239.
But he's a Gold Glover.
You know, he's a Gold Glover.
So it's clearly a defensive play.
He's going to be like your eighth or ninth hitter, right?
So, I would think.
Yeah.
He's somewhere down there. Key Brian Hayes, quote, Associated Press, defense, that's what's going to win games for us. Being extraordinary at the ordinary is a term that I like to use. Make all the routine plays. And then whatever extra plays we can make is a bonus. Good teams hardly make any errors. That was really something that, I mean, defense, that's what's going to win games for us. So clearly they're going to be much stronger up the middle. Jared Triola is a really good defender. And Derek Shelton, when I was talking to him this offseason, he made mention to me that as much as when we talk about the absence of O'Neill Cruz last year, Shelton was quick to highlight the defensive hole that it left. And my first reaction to him was, is he really that good defensively? And he said, actually, he grades out pretty well and was certainly far better than anyone that we had that replaced him.
His range is really good, obviously.
So my point is they're going to be stronger up the middle.
They should be, absolutely. And I think Triola, I was saying earlier, I think one of the things about Triola, in a perfect world, Triolo would be the starting first baseman, and Nick Gonzalez would be the starting second baseman.
I would go Piguero at second. But
Nick Gonzalez, but I mean, seventh pick in the draft, he's supposed to be that
guy.
Sure,
you're right.
The point is, he hasn't held up his end of the bargain. That's the biggest problem you got
That's
with
fair.
Him. He's got to. He's he's a guy that obviously could become a piece. Because where is he from? New Mexico or New Mexico State? New Mexico State. I mean, if you look at his numbers, they almost don't even look like real, his batting numbers in college. And some of his numbers are ridiculous. And it's like, okay, this guy's going to come. And eventually if he becomes that guy, they put him at second. Now you can move Triola to first. Boy.
That's what I thought they would have done this past offseason. I was cool with Triola, and I know sabermetricians are going to say that he's due for a fall off and the batting average balls in play. He was probably more lucky than he was actually good. I don't necessarily agree with that just based on the old-fashioned eye test. He doesn't give at-bats away. He's a really tough out. And what he gives you defensively at first base, I would have been fine with Jared Triola at first base. What did they put into Rowdy Tellez here? It's not all that significant. It's 3.2, actually, they gave Tellez. I would have gone out and got another arm, or I would have put that money towards another arm.
Yeah.
Obsessing over first base to me is something that I've really never done. I don't think that, you know, the Pirates obviously aren't going to go out and acquire Pete Alonso. They've never really been able to develop a true power threat at first base. And even in the early 90s, they won essentially without a first baseman. 13, 14, 15, they won without a marquee first baseman. They have not had a first baseman since Willie Stargell.
Yeah. Well, again, I think, you know, Triola is an intriguing player to me because he just feels like I think he's going to be pretty good no matter what they do. And eventually, you know, I would like to see Nick Gonzalez become the second baseman because he was drafted with the kind of pedigree you'd think he could be. But
Peguero was traded for Starling Marte.
He's got to do it.
And Peguero was traded for Starling Marte. So between those two guys, between a number one pick and perhaps the most gifted player that you've had in the better part of a generation, who was really, really good at the time that they traded him,
yeah.
That needs to start. The rubber starts. It's got to hit the road there with Peguero.
Well, just to wrap all of this up before we let you go, Dan. Let's look around the National League Central. We've got an interesting group of teams.
I think every team in the Central has the potential to win 80 games.
And I've said this. Every team in the Central, I think, has the potential to win it or finish last.
Yeah.
The only team I'd say probably is not going to finish last. I think the Cardinals made enough moves after what happened last year that they are going to finish third or better. I think, you know, I could see them winning it. I could also see them, you know, finishing with 81 or 82 wins. And
if they don't, it's going to cost the manager his job.
Right. I would be very shocked if they finish last. But the other four teams, I could see them all winning it. I could see them all finishing last. The Cubs are intriguing. They made some moves in the offseason, and they've got a good young core of players. I think the Brewers are interesting because they actually sort of offloaded some players, and they still seem to have a pretty good young core of players. And then, of course, the Reds seem to have a really, really, you know, kind of a good young core of players as well.
How about watching Ellie De La Cruz and O'Neal Cruz score? I mean, Pirates-Reds games all of a sudden became all the more intriguing and really must-watch TV.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, yeah.
Between the Cruises, the De La Cruz and O'Neal Cruz?
Yeah, yeah. That's what's going to make the Reds games fun.
So here's my theory. Paul Skeens comes up May 10th. That's my prediction, because the Pirates only play four games against the NL Central in the month of April. They have, I believe it's a 10-game stretch starting May 10th. So I think Skeens makes his debut and perhaps starts twice in that 10-game stretch where they face NL Central competition.
Yeah. Skeens, I tell you, I think Skeens is going to be he's going to be fun to watch in Indianapolis just because he should murder AAA hitters, right?
I think he's going to – he could do that to big league hitters.
He could.
But I mean, he was major league ready before they drafted him.
Yeah. You know what I like about Skeens, too, is he's got that A.J. Burnett-like aura about him.
I don't think he's a jag off like AJ.
I don't mean a jag off, but he's got that cocky. He's a big guy. Like,
oh, he's a hoss, man.
You watch him. His last spring training game, he struck out a couple of guys and gave the dugout the look. Mm. Gave the opposing dugout the look. Kind of walked around like, yeah.
See, I don't get that vibe from Skeens.
I like him.
I obviously love him. I mean, I was fawning over him, and I wouldn't.
He's got that ace sort of that aura about him.
He's a hoss. He's a horse. I like him. I think he's almost more of a cerebral, deep thinking because of the Air Force background, the military discipline. The competitiveness, I think, is there, but to the extent that you're saying where he's almost going to let those – I always felt like he would have emotions in check and he'd be more stoic out there.
I think he punches somebody out at a big spot. You're going to know about it.
That's interesting.
He might not go completely all A.J. Burnett, you know, sit the you-know-what down.
I didn't see that at LSU
But I saw a lot of – that from him where he knows he's the man. And he knows that, you know what? Listen, I don't know that the Pirates – Garrett Cole was that guy for 1 year, but I don't know that this guy has a chance to be, you know.
If the Pirates are going to win, and you can look back in their history every time they've won, you need two things. You need the MVP in the league, and you also need an absolute jackass. And just an absolute jerk. And – rare are the occasions where those two players are the same person, but if go back to 60, they had the NL MVP in Grote. Go back to 71 and 79, be it Clemente or Stargell. Essentially, they had some form or fashion of an MVP. Go to the early 90s, you had Bonds. In 13, 14, 15, it was McCutchen. You have to have the best player in the league, and maybe that is O'Neill Cruz. I don't know. But they certainly do have, I think, a couple of jerks in that clubhouse, and that's a good thing. And I think Henry Davis, chief among them. And I don't say that disparagingly. I say that as an absolute compliment to Henry Davis. They've got some it factor in that clubhouse from some young guys, that's exciting.
You absolutely need to.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.